or astral influences, this can be especially effective then in dissipating the imprint that is produced. Now, probably the most esoteric and the most powerful substance that can be used by people that are doing the kind of work that we're involved in, the kind of training and the kind of initiation that we're involved in, is the musk of the Tibetan musk deer. Now, this musk must be taken from a deer that has not been killed. It was taken originally just voluntarily by masters in the Tibetan mountains who would be approached by the animals, and as they petted the animals, they would smell the sweet substance, and it came from the musk or the testicles of the Tibetan deer. But this substance has been called the life giver by the mother of Agni Yoga. It is the most exquisite substance. I use it by inhaling it. I inhale it. It has a musky smell. It is not a particularly beautiful smell, but by inhaling it just once in the morning before I start the day's work, I bring a tremendous amount of fiery energy into my aura. It's used by other people by consuming small granules of it with food. And if there is an imbalance, if there's too much of a fiery condition produced, then it's balanced with valerian. Bishop Saradarian and his people consume small bits of the substance itself. It can be procured from certain Chinese herbalists. There is one I know of in San Francisco that carries it, and you have to know exactly what it is in Chinese. And in order to get it, you would need to work with me, and I would give you a Xerox or copy of the label, and it would have to be taken to someone. It costs $17-$20 per small vial, and there are much more detailed instructions on how to use this substance that I would have to give. This is only suggested for use after you have received initiations and empowerments from the Grail Temple. It is not the substance that's used in many of the essential oils that are called musk. Those are vegetable musks. According to Bishop Saradarian, it acts as a great purifier of the bloodstream. Master Moria refers to musk as a precipitation of fire, which nourishes the fires of the body and has a great curative effect on skin diseases. It radically improves the clarity of thought and consciousness and can help stimulate very high levels of meditation and the energy flow from the higher centers. That's the Tibetan musk of the Tibetan deer, a very rare substance that can be purchased in some Chinese herbalist shops.
Why was the man born blind? Was it for his own sins? That is, was it his own karma? Because there was a doctrine of reincarnation that was not current among the Pharisees, and that was current among the Pharisees, or certain Pharisees of the time and certain Jewish mystics. Or was it for the sins of his parents that he was born blind? And that was another traditional view, Sadducean view, and so on. And he refused to answer the question according to what we have in the New Testament. He simply said he was born blind so that the glory of God could be revealed in his healing. And what that means is the answer, that the old, age-old question, why is there evil in the world? Why does this child die? Why do the unjust suffer? And all the questions of Job and everything else. The answer is because we're coming from chaos into order. We're coming from darkness into light. We start with total, we start that way, and we move the other direction. And crucifixion always comes before resurrection. And that is the human experience, that's the existential experience. And so that the evolutionary arc is towards the luminous and in the case of us, the numinous as well, and towards the harmonious, and the movement away from that is towards the separate, the unrelated, you know, Plato's, you know, left and right and so on. And because of that, reality, the planet itself, in its evolution, which is inextricably part of human evolution, the human evolution is the the interface in consciousness between the more subtle worlds of the planet and the physical world that we live and move and breathe in, has within it all kinds of glitches, all kinds of darkness, all kinds of confusion, all kinds of what in moralistic terms might be called evil intentions and blah, blah, blah. And you see, you can see it all, you can see it all projected forth in the abnormal psychology of human beings and the things that people do and all that kind of stuff. That exists in consciousness all over the planet. And when a person who's a very deranged human being dies, he doesn't get any less deranged. I mean, so to speak, he's now the consciousness that he has, so to speak, dissolves. But there is another thing that remains, and that thing that remains still is stained with that. That which is manifested. So we have, from the very beginning, in spiritual traditions, always had the image of warriors, the warrior of light, the warrior of darkness, whatever. In ancient religions, the Old Testament is Jehovah, God is a god of war, but what it means is he's a warrior of light. And the great heroes were the ones who went to war, and then later on, the war became internal wars, the wars that the ascetic and the wars of the people and so on. And the wars that we're fighting now are wars that are within ourselves and but within the entire planet. And what each of us does has its effect, and it's not a tiny effect. It's not like a vote. It's not like, well, there are so many millions and millions of us and I'm only 1/1,000,000th of that. As a matter of fact, what each of us does can at certain critical times and can enforce with others radically change the future, other people, and the planet. It's a very, very powerful work, this esoteric work, this work in consciousness. And the enemies that we have, the enemies that we are to ourselves, and the enemies that we have within ourselves, are also, in another sense, enemies in the internal worlds. So what happened is that tradition of the blessing of the planet and the pouring out of grace once every 100 years was ended with the destruction and the theft of the actual instruments. And the end of the order. The order itself no longer existed. We had some pretty terrible times in this century, some pretty terrible wars, some very incredible things that went on. And there has been a tremendous struggle, as there is at the end of this long time, at this node of time, between that in us which is going to evolve and that in us which is going to devolve and become part of the substratum. And these things have been going on throughout the centuries and throughout this century, and individual people, consciously and unconsciously, have been working on both sides of this thing. And it is very true what Eldridge Cleaver said: you're either part of the problem or you're part of the solution. You can't be anywhere else. Maria and I were given to create this chalice a couple of years ago in a very certain way, with a great deal of esoteric work, which involved a great deal of travel to sacred places all the way from the Grand Canyon to California and Washington and all kinds of different things. And a special kind of work this was brought together. I think we're going to have to put her out because she's going to knock things over. Would you mind doing that? Or him? I don't know which it is. And we didn't know why we were being asked and moved to do this. But, maybe she'll be happy after Michael. I don't know. Or he'll be. I don't know what it is. He, okay. Because he was jumping up in here a lot. I was afraid he was going to do a number on the... Oh, good. And then things started to be showed to us and revealed to us in our dreams and also in some joint meditations that we did through the guidance that we received, which is very clear and specific guidance. It's not anything like that. Very straight knowledge. things we were to do. And then when I started to see what it was, and when the information came to me about the whole thing, it was the direction was not to put our minds on it, not to think about it, not to have it in our consciousness, not to know, let it all reveal as it happened. Because there was so much opposition to what we were being asked to do that we could be destroyed by it, that it would not happen, and so on. Well, I won't go through the details except to say that right after the invasion of Kuwait, where this one group had been, and that was an attempt to destroy and do in that group, and that group was a very powerful group of light workers, brothers and sisters, and that whole thing on the esoteric level was an attempt to destroy that group, which was not destroyed, but was suffered tremendously, and is now in different places. We were taken to a place that is probably about 1,800 miles from here, where we were empowered with an incredible thing that I won't go through the details on because I'm not supposed to talk about all this stuff, but just simply this much I can tell you, that we enacted and poured out as bishops, both of us, that once a century grail worked. And in the whole process of it, it was very, very difficult. There was great opposition. Marie nearly died. She was kidnapped and after 4 days was finally able to get away. And I could tell you things that we'd set your hair on end if you really knew what we went through with some of this. But we managed to survive this what we were asked to do, which was very, very dangerous. And when you're attacked in these circumstances, you're put at odds against each other. The way negative forces work is to split you apart in every possible way. There was all kinds of opposition. And we breathed our way through it, and we did the work, and we poured it out, and we did the whole thing. And but it wasn't a few days later that you were kidnapped, right? Mm-hmm. And we had both been wounded tremendously in ways I won't try to describe, physically, our physical health and different things through this. And a lama came to Santa Cruz from whose resident places in Italy. The great lama healer is one of the lamas associated, not with the Dalai Lama, but the Panchen Lama, great esoteric healing tradition. Came to Santa Cruz, and without any charge, he gave us not only the kind of healing work and a kind of healing pills, esoteric pills and things like this, that over 6 months eventually put us back together again, but he gave us the greatest of all gifts, which we call the lions, which are that aspect that you see personified in beings like in great lamas and so on. They're terrifying aspects. He opened that up to us and initiated that into us and brought it to us so that we have protection against this sort of thing now. And it's not just protection, it's pretty mean stuff too. Pretty mean protection. and that's why we wear gold over our hearts at this time, because of what was given to us. And the string that he gave me just broke today. When the string breaks, the need of the protection is over. He's been standing behind us and protecting us up to this very day of this work. And when the string breaks, that means you don't need it anymore. And so just this afternoon, a couple hours ago, my string broke. Hers broke a couple, when was it? A little earlier. And what we received and what we were empowered to do and what we were asked to do then is to found something on a foundation that is not another octave another expression of an older order, of an older thing, of anything like that, but an entirely brand new kind of work, the purpose of which is to bring together very developed people into a temple, as Templars, to work together in a group and esoterically at a distance. And this is not something that involves all kinds of magical rituals and rites and all kinds of things. It's something that works very much just as your body works. You've got 1,000 things going on right now. You don't have to think about it. Because this works through energy. This works through... it's very hard to explain how it works. I was telling Michael that when a fruit ripens, the first fruit that ripens on a tree emits certain kinds of pheromones or something. And those chemicals help the other fruits to ripen. And it's the same thing with human beings, that certain human beings are given a ripening. It's not because they're any better than anyone else. And it's not necessarily because they're older, because some of them are very young. It's simply because that's their work. And that's their part to play. And as that spreads out, that goes on. And what we have to offer is a whole series of empowerments and initiations, and they are connected with holy orders in the apostolic tradition, going back to the Master Jesus, but they are not church orders, and they are entirely transformed in terms of what they do and how they operate. So as Templars and as people who found a temple and so on. I've said this to you now tonight. I'm not going to say this thing to anyone else later. But I should say that Marie and I were directed over a period of a year to go through a tremendous amount of work, and we spent probably about 150 or 180 hours on this work of cleansing the Bay Area. I should preface this by saying that I have a long history of exorcistic power, and I've used it a lot, and it's been very powerful. And when we work together, it becomes much, much more powerful. The Bay Area has been clouded with dark consciousness and under dark influence for as long as I know of, probably since the last great earthquake. And people have come here and tried to clear it. For example, one of the disciples of Nicholas Roerich, who is his most famous disciple, forgotten his name, used to call him Guru Robert or something, I don't know, do you know who I mean? Some of his students have put out collections of his teachings. He passed out of his body 20 years ago or something. But when he came here, he said, forget it, you can't do it here, you know, it's just like a snowball in hell. Other people have come here and tried. The only people that have been able to work moderately successfully in the Bay Area have been certain Tibetan lamas, because they have a tremendous amount of protection, but they only work in very concentrated little areas. Even the Tibetans that were doing the sand painting in the exhibit this summer had a crazy lady run in and smash it all to pieces and everything like that, you know. The last people I know who tried to do the work were... what's his name? We talked about him last time. He and his wife were founders of the little community in Scotland. Peter Caddy and Donald Keyes and some other people that are close associates of ours now in another organization. We're here about 10 years ago with some other people, working as a group to try to clear this energy that's in the whole Bay Area. It goes from Santa Rosa all the way down to Monterey and all the way around. That energy is, I won't go through all the details of the experience I've had with it, or the workers that I've known that have been destroyed in this field of energy when they tried to bring things through, but they were not able to be successful. We were told that because of the special nature of our relationship, which is that we are actually two aspects of one being, and that because of the merging of our consciousness as it is in a lucid way, in a conscious way, And because of the chemistry of the nature of the chemistry, actual chemistry of our body cells and things like this, that we would be able to do this, but it would be very difficult, and it would we'd have to claw every inch of the way. So for a year, we worked on the process of clearing from the center of Mount Tam, which is the highest sacred place in the area. And we got hurt a lot doing that too. And when we finally ended in from Mount Hamilton all the way to Alcatraz, the work was finally finished, and it was successful. This is a little piece of mineral from Mount Tam, which is the sort of central point that we did this work from. And this little thing, we call it a meditation pod. It was constructed by a very brilliant esoteric craftsman, and it's constructed according to certain parameters that we specified. And it has a property of focusing consciousness and group consciousness. We call it a meditation pod because it's a group consciousness thing. Through a certain kind of focus, it could be mineral, it could be an image, it can be space, it can be many different kinds of things. And it's a very effective tool for group meditation. So tonight we have a little piece of Mount Tam there, because Mount Tam is that which is the central point for the work that has been done. The very nature of this kind of work, which, as I say, is bringing the higher into the lower, which is another way of saying it is elevating the vibration of the entire physical vehicle, of the personality, of the mind, of the physical vehicle, is a very new kind of work, because as opposed to the ancient Gnostical, Buddhist, and other kinds of what amounted to be dualistic ideas, that the goal was to kind of escape samsaric reality, to get out of this world, to leave this body, this stuff is a lower vibration stuff that that impedes us, and when we get free of it, we're able to ascend in a subtle body and in the subtle ways into higher consciousness and so on. It's no longer the task. The task is to bring that vibration into this world, into here and now. And the people who can do that, it's not unsimilar to what alchemical and magical and theurgical traditions have been, and to traditions that work with matter. One of the things that it teaches from the very beginning is the sacredness of matter, and the working with matter in a sacred way. But it is not, it's neither black nor white magic. It's the actual focus, the spiritual focus. And that we are at a point, a node in history and in human consciousness, where this actual work can be done. But it has to be done consciously. It can no longer be done on any kind of an unconscious level or half-consciously. And there's a focus that has to be achieved and kept, and it can be only held as a group practice. That is, it can only be held in context with other people. An individual can't do it by himself. An individual can go off by himself and make himself ascetic and gain all kinds of seeming powers and psychic this and all this kind of stuff, which he pays for dearly. But that is not called for in this world. What is called for in this world is a group effort. And every great being who has ever appeared in the world is not the result of his own efforts, but the result of the efforts of all those in the world and all those around him. The coming of a great avatar is not some being from some other dimension decides to come down here and grace us with his presence. The coming of an avatar is the end product of a great group effort, of consciousness, and the beings around that avatar, and the disciples around that avatar, and the family around that avatar, all those are beings at different levels of sanctification who have worked to bring that manifestation in. We don't exist as separate points in space. We only exist as part of a grander we, not just me, I. We exist in our individuality only because of we. That's, and that consciousness of we and of us is going to be terribly important as this unfolds in the future. And I'm not talking about a distorted consciousness of it as, for example, a sort of communistic idea of, well, let you and me share your property or something. I'm talking about the being able to identify totally with another being, to be with that being, to be in that being, the opening of petals of understanding, of compassion, of identity, and so on, in a person is part of becoming part, a greater part of humanity, and the expansion of the individual soul can only happen in the context and the garden of all souls, of all people. Because ultimately, humanity is one being. It started out being different beings. It started out from many sources. It's coming together as one being ultimately. And that being is going to be a very great being that we're not parts of, like, let's put it this way. The best comparison is not like, oh, we're merging to this warm gas or something, but like we're all members of an orchestra and we play this music and we just happen to know what it is. We don't have to read it. We're all individuals. There's the oboe and he has his voice, the violin has this voice, the trumpet has this voice, but we're all one thing together. We're the orchestra. And that's what I mean when I talk about the unity of humanity and the individuality of each of us. The individuality of great achievers and great masters is not an individual, it's not a personality achievement. It's an achievement of actual individuality of action, individuality of consciousness, within the context of the whole. I have an individual finger here, it does wonderful things, this one does wonderful things, but if I cut it off and put it somewhere else, it doesn't have much to say or much to do. And this is very, very important in terms of temple work, and that is why we're talking about bringing people together for this kind of work. We don't have lessons, we don't have any plans. What will happen in the temple will happen from week to week, and it will happen through the collective energy of people who are here. I told Michael that we're going to be here every week, and the people that are supposed to be here will eventually be here. It's going to take a while. It'll take a long time, I imagine. That's why I'm taping this stuff. And I don't know whether any of you are the right people for this group or not. I have no idea. I appreciate your coming, and I enjoy being with you. But I don't know if you are this is the kind of thing that you are interested in or want to do or this sort of thing, because this temple is not the only light thing that's being established on this planet for this new work. It's not just this. There are lots of other things that are happening. And in some organizations, I don't know whether this would happen in AMWORK or not, but in organizations that have existed, things may come up that are new, that are this kind of way. So this is going to be happening, and it is happening in different places, and it's half happening somewhere else in some other kinds of things that are starting. And we all have to be at the level of vibration that we feel correctly about. But it is important for us to associate. It's important for people who are developed and who are conscious workers to come together. As a matter of fact, it's been very difficult for teachers to come together. It's very easy for a teacher to get students. I'm the teacher, and here are the students, you know. But it's very difficult for people who are developed and who are doing things, each of them alone. In the old world, they become leaders of little groups of people. But it is very, very important for the teachers as well to come together. And that's the theme of the work we're doing. We have 40 acres of land up in a ley line from Mount Shasta that we just recently consecrated a large yurt for. It's called the Order of the Rose. And one of our goals for that is eventually to bring together people who are teachers in different traditions and who are part of this new energy, so that by coming together with their peers, they can absorb that synthetical energy and bring it back with them into their individual spheres. So the purpose of this gathering is to bring people together who are on a smaller level, the same idea, who themselves are developed, who are teaching, who are working, who are doing things in this way, but to spend one night together in a very sacred liturgy, the Grail Liturgy, for empowerment and refreshment, and also to receive some higher kinds of initiations than you really can receive anywhere else. I don't say that to be to sound like try to make it sound seductive or egotistical, but it's a fact that through this gathering there are things that are going to come to people that ain't going to come anywhere else. We've been experiencing what's going on here for a long time. We've had the privilege of meeting other workers who are doing the same thing in other places, or getting in contact with other groups that are doing similar things. It's very esoteric right now. It's not anything public, and it won't become public. It's not something you can read about in bookstores.